Now, recording live from the SEC Pub, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew with your host, David Romero.
Welcome back, hour number two, the BS and Beer Podcast crew, Tomas Mauricio, Dave Romero on the board, Tyler Kissner. Listen, the Saints crush the spirits and the hopes and the dreams of the Los Angeles Rams, 45-35. And I ain't gonna lie, what you're doing right there, that was me during that comeback when they tied it up. Because I was like, hey, look. But man, you can't expect that the Rams weren't going to score. And that's what I was saying. Right. And all of a sudden, I was like, start puckering up, Twitter.
That's what I was going to say to you.
Dang, all right.
Yeah, that's all right. It's all right. You can say it.
Yeah, Twitter went quiet. Now, I posted that, and people were like, I don't know what Twitter you looking at. Everybody's complaining and stuff. But I'm like,
my Twitter
for about an hour,
I
got no tweets, no nothing. Likes, no retweets, no nothing.
I wasn't tweeting either. I let the phone sit on the table.
Well, that might be why we didn't get any retweets or tweets.
Because
all
wasn't
of us,
tweeting,
we were like, oh, man. I had no doubt in my mind the Rams were going to score when they got the ball in the second half.
Oh, yeah,
I just knew
me
they
too.
Would. They're too good. Yeah. They were going to do it. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, but the Saints, what are they going to do? They're going to come back. And it's like they didn't score. And I was like, you know what? It was inevitable. The Saints are any team. You can't maintain that pace. You're not going to score a touchdown on every drive, which we did in the first half.
Right.
Okay, then the Rams get the ball. They go down, kick a field goal. The Saints, they punt again.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, boy.
By the way, Morstead must be very rusty because those punts weren't that good.
I heard he hadn't punted in the Superdome since week two.
Well, yeah, that's right. So he was looking for his helmet. He might have put on the wrong helmet. Could have been. That's what it might affect. Where's my helmet?
Hold on.
All right, put this helmet on.
It was too big and
too
it was floating around.
Exactly.
Got in his eyes and everything. Couldn't see.
Exactly.
So one of the things. Okay, here's something. I'm looking over my notes and it's just this is the second time in a couple of weeks it worked out. One week, this week we're in a situation. 6 minutes left in the game, tied 35-35. It's third and six, and Drew Brees throws a ball to none other than Dan Arnold.
Yeah.
Now. He did a couple of weeks ago. We ended up with a nice play, gain. It was on first down against the Ravens. But this week, I don't know if you're trying to be too cute. This might lend to why the Saints are bringing in receivers. Something's wrong. Meredith, is he not healthy? Traquan Smith, he's been getting a little bit of action. Got two passes this week.
This is the preview to my rant.
Is he just a little bit too young and inexperienced and Drew Brees doesn't trust him? But the fact of the matter is, why are you throwing the ball to Dan Arnold in a critical, not crucial, because there's crucial, then the next one's critical, or there might be something in between them. But you don't throw the ball to Dan Arnold in that situation. You think of players, not plays. I heard a coach say that one time.
Well, I would say this to you. I'm not in the pocket looking around. But I have to trust Drew Brees, Hall of Famer, going to be the first vote Hall of Fame. You know, this year he'll be MVP. He'll have won every prize that there is to win. So I have to believe that when Drew's sitting back there and he goes, first read, not open, second read, not open, third read, I might be able to get it into Arnold. He's a third read. And then just as about to throw the ball, he goes, can't get it in there either. Boom. He threw the ball over his head and out of bounds. He would have had to have Mr. Elastic Arms to catch that freaking ball.
Right.
So it wasn't a catchable ball.
You know what? And that's something I didn't think. You brought up something I didn't really think about. If Drew Brees wanted to put the ball on him, he would have put the ball on him, even though it could have potentially been intercepted.
And I don't think it was the first read.
Yeah, I think. Oh, no. I have to go back and read that.
I don't think so. I can't remember now, but I don't believe that was the first. I think he looked left first, so whoever was on the left was first, and then he went back across the field and found Arnold. So, to me, it was actually a good play. Because, you know, sometimes it's better to not turn the ball over and have to punt
it. Oh, absolutely.
I'm just saying.
All right. So, you know what we didn't do?
What did we do?
Have two options here. We didn't do the bad ugly.
Yeah.
And we have two more hotline calls. Which one? You tell me.
Let's go with the hotline call.
All right. 701-901-1295. It's the graffiti hotline.
Because I want people to feel that they get
get their money. Absolutely. Yeah. Part of the show.
That's right.
Hey, guys. This is Joe from the Midwest.
Hey, Joe.
First time calling this year.
Thank you.
Great win from the team. Pretty excited. Obviously, a little scared now that the media and everybody's all over New Orleans, and now they're number one in the power rankings and all that. Yeah. But something that upsets me, like right after the game, great victory, but this team better get home field advantage because they're not going to win outside the dome. Like, aren't we undefeated on the road against very good, hard, tough teams on the road as well? I don't know. It's always something. Doubters, haters, whatever. Who dat, and I love that podcast.
My man, I like it. There you go. Joe, thank you for the call, my friend. I completely agree with you. This team has proven against good quality opponents on the road that they can win any way they want to. They can win a rough tumble like against the Vikings or against the Ravens. Or they can come into the Superdome and light up the scoreboard. So I disagree with those pundits, but they're going to say what they want to say, Tomas.
Right. Now, look, being honest, certainly home field advantage is the thing to get. There's no doubt about that. But at the same time, we can and we have won on the road. So, yeah, but you have to listen to the talking heads. Because don't worry, you say, well, a lot of talking heads are talking about the Saints. Yes and no. Because immediately after the game, I heard pundit after pundit talk about how great Cam Newton is and how great the Carolina Panthers are and how Norv Turman has come in there and he's designed an offense and now they're running all cylinders. So not to worry. It looks like the Panthers are going to be there. So I'm not worried. You know, the Redskins are going to win the East. Oh, the Redskins got everything. AP, right up, you know, that's Dave's shrimp poor boy boy. You know, I mean, let them talk about, I would rather that we stay in the back burner. Let everybody else have a target on them. I'm fine with that. And we'll just slowly work up. Remember, the year we won the Super Bowl, by the way, I have my Super Bowl shirt on.
Yes, he does.
The year we won the Super Bowl, right? Well, this New Orleans team, they're 3-0. Wow, you know, this New Orleans team, they're 7-0. Man, we should keep an eye on them. But don't worry, because they're going to come back down to earth. Right? All of a sudden, we're 13-0, and they're all like, oh, man. And then we lost three. Remember? We lost the last three games. What comes up? Well, you know, it's bound to happen. We've never seen a team lose the last three and win the Super Bowl, so you can write the Saints off. They're going to go. Let them write whatever they want. You know. Dave knows. Heath knows. Tyler knows. And I certainly know. We have a great team. Who dat?
Who dat? All right. Well, hey, let's keep it going. We're going to get that other hotline call.
Go ahead. Put it on.
From one of our friends of the show, Lil Dice.
Hey, this is Lil Dice. Great win yesterday. Really excited about it because the weekend, sure enough, started off kind of slow. Now, I'm looking at the defense, and it seemed to me like the plan was to stop Ty Gurley and keep him in check, and they did a great job doing that. Now, do you think there will ever be a time on defense, well, during this season, that we will consistently hold opponents below 20 points and not have to worry about, you know, outscoring them? Who that?
Well, Lil Dice, I mentioned this a little bit earlier. First of all, thank you for the call, but the Saints, six out of the eight teams they played have the top passing offenses. They're going to give up points. The Saints defense, despite what we thought coming into the season where we were hoping they would start off around, you know, the middle of the pack and improve to a top 10 defense, I think they are improving. I think they're getting better. But I think that they are a mediocre defense. And I think we just got to accept that they are what they are. And I don't think there's going to be a point if we're going up against a top offense that we're going to hold teams to that low a score. Having said that, you know, this weekend, AJ Green's out. I think there could be a situation where we might be able to hold them to under, you know, I don't know, 24. Boy, that's about right. That's a good call on the number because that's like right there where I'd say, you know. But no, I don't think that the Saints are going to be consistently a team, especially with our schedule, that's going to hold guys under 24 right now.
All right, I respectfully disagree. First of all, Lil Dice. Look, I know you're using that hamster in a cage in order to power
your
like
cell
typing. Phone.
I think he's typing.
I don't know what the hell. Look, buddy, you know, give us a little respect here when you call up the show.
The hotline.
You know, yeah, I mean, you know. I don't want to hear all that noise. What the hell? Okay. But now directly to your question. All right. First of all, I don't care what the other team scores, unless at least as long as it's 1 point less than us. I'm good with it. Now, again, as we've been talking about the entire show and shows in the past, how is the NFL set up right now? The NFL is set up for offenses. Look around the league. Kansas City, how many points are they scoring? Okay. Pittsburgh, how many points are they scoring? When they don't play us, how many points are Minnesota scoring? You know, how many points is, you know, Philadelphia scoring? All these teams are scoring a lot of points. There's nobody winning a game 9-6. unless you're the Titans and the Bills. Other than that, you know, not happening. So can we hold a team under 24 points? Is that the number he gave, 24?
Yeah. Yep, 24.
Looking at our schedule, the Bengals, maybe. Philadelphia, I don't think so. Pittsburgh, I don't think so. Uh-huh. Tampa Bay, yes, I think so. Who else do we have? The other
Carolina Atlanta twice, ones, Atlanta.
No, I don't think so. I think all those teams are going to score in the 20, somewhere between 21 and 27. So putting your 24 out there, you know. Now, it just depends. I mean, I don't think we have a mediocre defense. I think we have actually a good defense. And so as long as we shut down the run, I'm happy with that. Let them go ahead and throw the ball. Because as they get into the 20, by the way, Julio Jones finally scored a touchdown.
Right.
But
he's tied with P.J. Williams
there
now.
There you go.
Yep.
There you go. So he's got a lot to pick up. So to me, once you're inside the 20, everything tightens up. Our defense is solid. I don't see it happening. So that's my answer to your call, sir.
All right. Well, thanks again for all you guys who called the hotline.
Yep. And what's that number again?
701-901-1295.
And if they can't call on the hotline, they can email.
Always email us.
There you go.
BSandBeer at iCloud.com.
Or they can use the Twitterverse and tweet us.
Mine's at SaintsBS. What's yours?
Tomas19.
All right. So do you want to jump into the bad? I mean, we don't have a lot of time, but there's not a lot of bad to talk about.
We can talk, I guess, if you've got some bad or slash ugly, we can talk about.
Yeah, go ahead.
The only bad slash ugly that I can even think about at this point is just in general holding the edge on defense. You know, Cam Jordan is being double teamed, triple teamed, chipped, and whatever else. I don't worry about. They don't run to that side. Which is kind of funny to me because you always want to run at the guy who's the best rusher. But for some reason, the teams we're playing keep running to the other side.
Well, it's because he might be our best pass rusher. He's also our best run defender.
Well, I guess so. And when you're chipping him and double teaming him, I guess you have to run the opposite way. You know,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But in any case, I would say my bad and ugly is this. Davenport was making a heck of a lot of improvement game to game. And I think he was getting better and better at holding that corner. And with his arm length, I think that really threw an extra positive in there. Okafor and T-Hex, I think they're good players, don't get me wrong. But we have to do something about holding that corner. Because that's one of those big long runs that you were talking about when all of a sudden, you know, we got them on third down and boom, they break one for 15, 20 yards. It's always on the same side because we don't set that damn edge. So, you know, and, well, you know, that could be a bad. You know, the other bad, I just remembered the other bad that I wanted to talk about was the angle of the safety.
You don't get too bad.
Well, I'm just throwing it at you in case you want to talk about it.
Go ahead, go ahead.
But, yeah, the other thing is because when they hit that corner, when we don't hold that edge, the safeties are taking bad angles. And so that's another issue. I saw several times where Marcus Williams, on that touchdown run, for example, Marcus Williams took the wrong angle, and the guy beat him to the corner. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah, I'm going to stay with my bad and ugly, and I think it can improve. Setting that edge on the opposite side from Cam Jordan.
Well, I would have, in hindsight now, I would have picked the Dan Arnold as the bad ugly.
It's
but
just one play.
But yeah, it was just one play. But it's a couple of times the Saints have gone to him. I'm just not getting. I wish I had some better insight onto the whole Meredith thing. If he's just not healthy,
let me get to my rant.
Okay, well, I'll hold on.
Another preview to my rant.
All right. So you talked about the Saints. Maybe going a little conservative in the second half. 13 passes, 8 runs in the second half.
Right.
You know, not too bad.
No.
Not too bad. I mean, but they
weren't playing to win, Dave. I mean, that's the difference. The first half, they came out like, we're going to kick your butt.
Right.
We're going to kick your butt, and you're going to take it like a man, you know?
Yeah.
But in the second half, I think it came out and said, no, we're winning by a lot. Maybe we should just relax a little bit here, you know, and take what we can get.
Here's another interesting thing that I think has just become blatantly obvious and apparent. You know, in the past, Mark Ingram was the starter, even though it might have been that Kamara was more explosive. Man, I think it's become obvious that they don't even do the ceremonial, let him start at the beginning of the game.
Right.
Kamara is now the primary back, and Mark Ingram is his backup.
Although there was a good.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. When Fowler blitzed on that play.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that
and
one.
And Mark Ingram just lifted him up and threw him over the top.
Decleated
like,
him.
Dude.
I mean,
wow.
Head over feet. Or why did I say that? Feet over head.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just literally did a
man,
flip.
That was a hell of a block.
And, I mean, again, I'm not trying to say Mark Ingram's not a good player, but let's just face facts. If you got three plays to get a first down, who are you putting in the game? And I think Kamara is your number one option. He's an intelligent guy, and so he can pick up the blitzes and the pass pro. He can catch the ball like a receiver, and he's a more explosive running back that just seems to find the hole. Having said that, man, you love to have a guy like Mark Ingram on your team too, so it's not a bad thing. I just thought it was like when you have two guys that are both really good, you kind of go with the guy who's the veteran.
I hear you,
the leader.
But I'm going to give you a little heads up. Don't be surprised in the next few games to see more of Mark Ingram in the screen game, which we haven't been playing, if you think about it. Well, we haven't been doing a lot of that screen pass that Mark Ingram is really good at.
No, he is, and it's just a matter of how the other team's playing.
Right,
if they're playing
right.
a lot of zone defense, you're not going to be effective.
Look at the Philadelphia game. I'm just giving you a heads up.
All right, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. When we come back, we have a special guest who's going to talk a little Bengals football.
Okay. You know, ever since we started this podcast, people have been asking us for advice. Usually, it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is, we don't know who's going to win. But if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why we always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, fellas, they are your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big today. Visit MyBookie online. That's MyBookie. And don't forget, you play, you win, you get paid.
Welcome back, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio and the BS and Beer Saints Podcast. Dave Romero and Tomas Mauricio with you today.
Hey, hey.
Heath Elson-San couldn't make it under the weather. Got to say something about my man Tyler Kissner over there working the board.
Yeah.
He's being awful quiet. He didn't even set his mic up today. I think he's under the weather. But anyway, Tomas, here's some interesting stuff. First half, the Saints, 24 first downs in the first half alone. 4 for 5 and third down conversions. And, you know, listen, I mean, I just don't know how much better football the Saints could have played in that first half, and it was enough. And I know you talked a little earlier about, you know, they kind of went, maybe, I don't know what you said exactly, but kind of conservative. But I look at it and say, hey, man, they get that kind of lead. Now it's time to get this game over with. So you try to run the ball, try to burn some clock, but the Rams just would not go away.
Well, you're playing a quality team. Again, you're not playing the Buffalo Bills, you know? So you're playing a quality team. You're not playing the Oakland Raiders. You're not playing the Dallas Cowboys. Cowgirls, okay? So you're playing a quality team, which they made their adjustments at the halftime. They came out and said, hey, we're undefeated. I'm telling you, in the locker room, hey, boys, we're undefeated, but we won't be if you don't get off of your behinds and play some serious football. Well, these guys have pride, too. So you expected that to happen. So I don't have a problem with, and again, going back to one of our callers who called in, I don't have a problem in that they scored 35 points. We scored 45, so we win. So I'm good. Now, do I want it to always be one of those kind of last guy with the ball wins? No. But we're playing real quality teams. So, you know, it is what it is, and we'll continue to march forward.
All right. Before we get to the Tomas rant.
Yep.
Our friend Wesley sends me a tweet from Tom Pelissero.
Yeah.
And it says, Dez Bryant left New Orleans without a contract, but the Saints like what they saw, and the sides are in negotiations on a deal. So, what that means, we'll see. But hopefully we'll find out a little bit something here shortly.
Oh my but God, till then.
It's a Tomas rant.
I don't want to hear these facts.
Daddy, she's going to blow.
I have opinion.
I got a nuke coming in. It's going to blow in less than a minute.
That's going to mean anything to me.
It's going to blow. It's going to blow.
My opinion overranks the fact, okay?
It's going to blow up. It's going to blow up.
And she will, which is a mathematical certainty.
Indubitably.
All right, so time for my rant. Let me see if I can put this together in a way that I don't have a heart attack. Don't want my blood pressure to blow my top of my head off. Everyone is entitled to an opinion. Opinions are like buttholes. Everyone's got one. So I'm fine if our friend who sends us texts and tweets says he's in love with Dez Bryant, wants to buy him a poor boy. You go right ahead. But here's the thing that gets to me. And you know that I love our listeners. I wish we had more listeners. But I get a little tired. I get a little tired of every Saints wannabe fan or Saints I just got on the bandwagon fan. Every time somebody gets cut from a team, oh, we got to sign him. Oh, if the Saints can only sign him. It doesn't work that way. Everybody who gets cut from a team gets cut for a reason. Dez Bryant. When the Cowboys re-signed him to the last contract, there were several people on the team who were like, don't know if he's really worth that kind of money. Injuries. He doesn't have the same vertical, doesn't have the same speed. Well, okay, he's Tony Romo's favorite boy, and so he gets the pass. Tony Romo leaves, and the new guy, Dak, comes in and goes, nah, I don't want to throw him the ball. I don't trust him. It's all about chemistry. I see Tre'Quan Smith getting better and better game by game, and in particular, building a chemistry with Drew Brees. Cam Meredith, I have to tell you, I can't find report. I've been scouring every guy that writes about the Saints and all the national people. I can't find one single report that says there's something wrong with him. But I have to believe it was an incredibly serious knee injury. So I have to believe that the guy doesn't have it either yet or will never have it back. I'm believing that that has to be it. Austin Carr, I know somebody said he's just wearing a uniform. I just think Austin Carr hasn't been put into the playbook because Kamara's been in there and also Taysom Hill. So signing Dez Bryant, now the report that I did get is that they tried out several receivers and they're going to sign somebody. I don't think it's going to be Dez Bryant. But my rant is this. For God's sake, man, look at the team and look at the chemistry we have. We have the players to win.
We have
I'm
the meat.
I'm telling you. That's right. We have the players. We don't need outside people who are going to come in here and ruin the chemistry. Uncle Ben. Uncle Ben is a good player. Not a great player at this point in his career, but he's a great player in the locker room for the young guys. And that's what you need at this point because we have a lot of young guys. We're talking about Michael Thomas. Do you really think that Dez Bryant will be a positive influence on Michael Thomas? Now think about it. No. So we don't need it. What we need is a little confidence in the players that we have and the coaches that are coaching them. That's it. So for the love of God, don't keep saying we need to sign somebody just because they got cut. All right, that's my rant.
The opinions expressed by Tomas do not necessarily reflect the thoughts and views of David Romero or the BS and Beer podcast. And David's silence should not in any way be mistaken for agreement on the subject. Sometimes we just have to get on with the show.
Wah, wah, wah. Well, Tomas, we'll find out.
Yeah, go ahead, tell me
you
disagree.
No, you know what? Here's the thing. I'm a little bit on my I'm on the fence with Dez Bryant because I have never liked him as a player. I do think that he still has enough gas in the tank as a, you know, number two guy if he accepts that role.
He won't.
I'm just saying that he could be a playmaker that we need because it's obvious that we're a little shorthanded at receiver or at receiving targets because every ball is going to either Thomas or Kamara. We need to get somebody else in there that can do something. I wish it would be a guy like Meredith. I don't necessarily like him as a player, but I don't know if he wouldn't be a good enough addition to the team to help us. So anyway, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
BS and Beer, standing up for the little people, man.
BS and Beer Podcast.
standing up for people.
BS and Beer.
Indeed, you are powerful.
Americans are going to stand up and say,
BS and Beer.
And I'm just telling you what people are going to do.
We fight bullies.
BS and Beer Podcast.
There's going to be a revolution
for the people.
BS and Beer.
There's going to be riots in the streets.
BS and Beer.
BS and Beer.
Getting ready to rise up.
BS and Beer Podcast.
Come on, I'm joining them.
Now witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational
podcast.
Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast Crew, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. I have a special guest for us, Anthony Cosenza. He's you can find him on Twitter at CJAnthonyCUI. Or, you know, he has his own podcast. It's the Orange and Black Insider. And he also writes for the Cincy Jungle. It's part of SB Nation. Anthony, how are you today, man? Thank you so much for coming in.
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Man, I'm doing great. The Saints are plowing through this very difficult schedule. And we're at a point now where it doesn't get any easier. Now we're traveling to Cincinnati to play a dangerous Bengals team, although recently I just found out that maybe one of the most important cogs on your offense may not be playing.
Right, AJ Green, it's kind of an odd thing. It was initially a jammed toe a couple of weeks ago against the Buccaneers when the Bengals last played. They had the bye week this last Sunday. It was at the end of the game, the game-winning drive. Green was very clutch on that last drive to get that game-winning field goal. Had a couple of catches for over 30 yards to move the Bengals into field goal position. Came down after a catch, limped off the field, and initially it sounded like everything was fine. He just jammed his toe. Then all of a sudden it got pretty scary this week for Bengals fans as he went and saw a foot specialist. Surgery was on the table, all that kind of stuff. It sounds as if surgery is not going to be needed this year. My guess is if there is an issue, it'll probably be addressed with surgery in the off season. But for now, it looks like AJ Green will miss this week, possibly next week against the Ravens, and then might be back in the lineup from there. Basically, like I said, it was a jammed toe initially, and then his foot began to swell from there. So not great news for the Bengals, but could have been a lot worse, it sounds like.
Okay, well, Anthony, tell me how you feel, who you feel might be the best person to replace his productivity. Do you think it'll be more of going back to the running game, or do you have other receivers that you feel strongly about?
Well, the Bengals are going to need to adjust their offense accordingly. I mean, A.J. Green is so critical to what they do. He's an insane red zone threat at 6'4". He can go deep. He can catch the intermediate stuff. So he, in my book, he's a top five wide receiver in this league. So you lose that guy, and that's a major security blanket for Andy Dalton, and that's a big issue. But the good news is their number two wide receiver, Tyler Boyd, is a third-year guy. He has stepped up immensely this year. He's got five touchdowns. He actually has more catches than A.J. Green on the season, just a little bit fewer yards. So he's actually had a very good season, and before Green went down, both Boyd and Green were on pace for 1,000-yard receiving seasons and double-digit touchdown seasons. So Boyd can help, but the thing with Boyd is he was able to make so many plays because Green commanded so much defensive attention. So I think they're still going to do some stuff with Tyler Boyd. Luckily, the Bengals get a little bit healthier in other areas on offense. They get their center back, Billy Price, the rookie. They're getting Giovanni Bernard back, the multidimensional running back. So I think that the Bengals will rely heavily on Joe Mixon. They'll rely heavily upon Giovanni Bernard, both as runners, and both guys can catch the ball pretty well. So I think those two guys will be major focal points this week. The Bengals also, unfortunately, lost Tyler Eifert, their star tight end, earlier this year. Yeah. They lost him for the season, too. So they're down a couple of pass-catching weapons, and they're going to need to figure out some other areas and other game plans this week.
All right. Well, the Bengals 5-3, 1-1 in the division. They're 1-2 in the last two games. They lost to the Steelers and the Chiefs, but beat the Bucks last week. Thank you, by the way. We appreciate that here in the NFC South.
I did a lot to help out on that one.
Well, we appreciate all the help we can get. I mean, actually, the Bucks took us to the woodshed in week one, the only blemish on our record right now. And quite frankly, those guys have talent, and when they decide to play, they're a tough team to beat. Looking on the other side of the ball, the Bengals' defense has struggled a little bit. Statistically speaking, they're at the very bottom of the league. Give me some idea. Give the Saints Nation some ideas about, you know, exactly what's going on here. Is that kind of an aberration, or are they struggling on defense this year?
Well, it's more than a little struggling a little bit. It's been a pretty big struggle, and unfortunately, it's been real feast or famine for the Bengals, and more famine than feast. And what I mean by that is the team brought in a new defensive coordinator this offseason, Terrell Austin, who came from Detroit. They really wanted to make an emphasis on getting after the quarterback and forcing those big turnovers, those game-changing plays. Well, in about three or four of the games this year, all wins for the Bengals, they've done really well. Like, for instance, last week against, or the last game they played a couple weeks ago against the Buccaneers, they had five quarterback sacks, four interceptions, one of which was a pick six. But their scheme was almost like a prevent or whatever you want to call it, and they allowed the Buccaneers to come back. Now, I think part of it was they were on their heels with a mid-game quarterback change, and Ryan Fitzpatrick did his thing. But, you know, the team has gotten some big leads at certain points this year, and for a variety of reasons, they have not held on to some of these big leads. A couple weeks ago against Tampa Bay was a prime example. I think there's a combination of factors. I think a lot of the guys that the Bengals have on defense, their corners and whatnot, are not great for Austin's scheme. The Bengals cornerbacks are better at press. They're better at jamming receivers at the line, that sort of thing. Austin's playing a little more off-man type of coverage and allowing some of these big chunk plays to occur. But I also think, unfortunately, the Bengals, their offense hasn't helped towards the second half. You know, they come out pretty hot first, second quarter, you know, with those scripted plays, and then all of a sudden, third quarter, they get into this big lull, have a bunch of three and outs, forcing their defense right back out on the field again, and, you know, they're pretty tired, they're pretty gassed, and all of a sudden, they let up some of those plays. So, you know, I think that's a factor. Tackling has been awful this year. Getting off the field on third down has not been a strong point, so that's a really big point of emphasis. I'm sure Sean Payton is hitting home with his explosive offense this week, because if the Bengals can't at least contain Drew Brees and the Saints, this is going to be a pretty lopsided affair, I think.
Well, let me transition into that. So if you've had a chance to really dig into the matchups or what have you, maybe you can give us a general idea of, from the Bengals' perspective, how do you think they match up? How do you see this game going, as you knowing the strengths of the Bengals versus what you know about the Saints?
Well, I did watch a little bit of the game last week from the Saints and the Rams game, which was a very exciting game, and that was a big win for New Orleans, obviously. So, I haven't watched a ton of Saints football this year, but I did, you know, pay close attention to that game last week, and I saw some things. What's going to be interesting, the most obvious matchup, if we're talking Bengals defense against Saints offense, one of the most obvious matchups is a duo of former first-round corners, Trey Kirkpatrick and William Jackson on Michael Thomas. William Jackson was poised for a breakout season this year. In the offseason, he was Pro Football Focus's darling, and, you know, he shut Antonio Brown a bunch of times last year, and you know, a lot of people thought William Jackson was going to be that next great shutdown corner. Well, he doesn't have an interception this year. Drake Kirkpatrick, the other starting corner, doesn't have an interception this year. They both lead the team in passes defended, but, you know, they haven't provided the big plays. They've let up other big plays, which has not been characteristic of those guys so much. So those two guys, and I don't think the Bengals will have just one guy on Michael Thomas, but
yes,
I think they will, you know, kind of switch based on where Thomas lines up. You know, other matchups in terms of individual matchups, New Orleans is really going to have to account for guys like Carlos Dunlap, the edge rusher on defense, not just getting after Drew Brees, but his immense length and size. He can bat a lot of passes down, and he has done that in his career. Geno Atkins in the middle of the defense is a monster and is probably a top three interior defensive lineman in the NFL. So those guys will present problems. On the offense, you know, like I mentioned earlier, the running backs. I think that the Mixon and Bernard can pose problems to opposing defenses, and what the Bengals have struggled doing is really feeding their running backs a lot of times. You know, they're not getting the 30 carry games that you see from some of these high profile backs. They're getting more 20-25 total touches between catches and rushes. So that's a matchup. And I'll say one more thing, going back to Bengals defense against the New Orleans offense. The Bengals linebacker group really, really struggles in covering tight ends and covering versatile backs. So I expect Alvin Kamara to have a big day against the Bengals.
Okay, in about 30 seconds here, Anthony, give me your prediction. How do you think the Saints generally on the road, they're a lot less explosive, but they tend to run the ball and play good run defense. Give me an idea what you think the final score might be.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of things, especially with Green probably being out of this game, there are a lot of things that tell me that this could be a blowout type of game in favor of the Saints, like we saw when the Bengals went to Kansas City on Sunday night. The only thing, there's two facets that make me think it'll be a little closer than a lot of people may assume, and that would be, number one, the weather. It's outdoors, and it'll be cold, and New Orleans has, I believe I read, they have a 9-11 record recently or something, where when the temperature is under 50, which that's probably going to be the case this Sunday. And then the Bengals are getting healthier in other spots. So they're getting guys back that are practicing. I mentioned a few of them earlier. So I will say 31-23 New Orleans. That's probably where I'll go at this point.
Okay, well, I appreciate your time. We're talking to Anthony Costanza of the Orange and Black Insider. It's a podcast. You're going to want to listen to it. Also, he writes for the Cincy Jungle, which is part of SB Nation. Anthony, thank you so much for your time, man. We appreciate your insight, and hopefully we'll get you on some time in the future when we have some other matchups.
Yeah, absolutely. I know they're few and far between, but I appreciate you having me on, and have fun with the game this weekend.
All right, take care. That's some great insight from the Cincinnati perspective. I think the loss of A.J. Green is going to be huge. This will be like the first week that we don't go up against a top-tier wide receiver group in general, not to take away anything from the other receivers, but A.J. Green is obviously head and shoulders above the rest of those guys and one of the top performers in NFL. And it actually, man, it's nice to actually get a little break. So many times our defensive backs from Apple all the way to Lattimore catch so much grief, but at the end of the day, man, they're going up against, as we mentioned earlier in the show, a top 10 receiving core every week. So this might give us a break, but having said that, Bernard is going to be back. They're running back. He's dynamic. He's cut from the Reggie Bush Kamara mold, and he's going to be a guy that the Saints are going to have to really account for in that offensive system. So it's going to be interesting to see how it offsets, how the Saints will be able to match up against that type of running back. But having said that, the Saints have played well against running backs and against the run game. Held Gurley to under 70 yards, so I think it works more in our favor to have Green out as opposed to Bernard back. So 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
BS and Beer, a national institution since... It's a really cool show.
Welcome back. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer Podcast. It's now time for the MyBookie Picks of the Week. Now, MyBookie.com, great site to go to if you're going to drop some coin. Matter of fact, I think, what did we say, after 7 o'clock?
That was the last promo they had. You get a matching 25 for your when you make your deposit.
Yeah, so and also, if you use BS and Beer,
that's the way.
They'll let us. That lets them know where you came from. We appreciate any support that you get. So anyway, so I don't know. You ready to do your picks?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, so I don't know. I think I've moved up to 16th, which, I mean, that's pretty good, actually, because usually by this time I'm fading back into the 40s and the 50s.
Right. I faded back a little bit to 20s, but that's all right. I got to come in this week.
What about Heath? Where's he at? He's not even here. I want to pick on
50s,
him.
50s. Oh, yeah. He's way down the list.
That doesn't take anything away from him. He's still a good person.
That's right.
Yeah, so we miss him.
We appreciate beating him up. I mean, we appreciate him
playing. You got to have all those extra people in there. No, then they're going to get mad at me. You want those extra people in there or else. Like right now, I'd be in last place if we only had 17 people. So, got to get all those extra people in there. All right. So, you want to start off here? We got the Panthers at the Steelers.
Yes.
The Steelers giving up 4 points.
I'm taking the Steelers.
Taking the Steelers?
Yep.
I'm taking the Steelers as well. We need somebody to beat the Panthers. And if the Panthers end up going into Pittsburgh, not that I think Pittsburgh's a great team right now, but if the Panthers go into Pittsburgh's house and beat them, then we're going to know we're going to have a dog fight at the end of the season for this division.
I think Pittsburgh's rounding in the shape. I think that they realize that Le'Veon Bell has been replaced. You know, this kid Connor they have running the ball.
I know, right? He's doing well.
He's doing really well. You know, and they have Antonio Brown, and they have Juju Smith-Schuster, and they have a lot of weapons. So I'm seeing the Steelers beating the Panthers at home because they're in Steeler country. By the way, it's going to be cold?
Is it?
I don't know.
No, I don't know.
The Green Bay thing.
Yeah. All right. So now the Fighting Garys, more commonly known as the Lions, heading over to Chicago, the Windy City, -7, Chicago.
I hate to tell my dear friend Gary, but I think the Lions have cashed in their last check. I think they're just riding along for the end of the season. So I'm going to take the Bears and give up the 7.
I thought it was strange when they traded away Golden Tate.
I don't know if that signals
that you kind of gave up 10 sacks to the Vikings last week. I don't know. Like I tell Gary, I'm going to give him a courtesy and pick the Bears.
All right.
Give him a fighting chance.
Yeah, all right. There you go.
So then we go Falcons at the Browns. Yeah. The Browns are getting 4 points, so that means the Falcons are a road favorite. Tomas?
You know, I can't pick those doggone Falcons, so I'm going Brownies. Maybe this will be the week that Greg Williams gets a win.
The new head coach of the Browns.
The new head coach.
By the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, in this game, I'm going to pick the – all right, next game.
I'm going to kick your ass. All right.
Next game, Patriots are going to the irrelevant Titans.
But wait a second. These damn Titans messed up my damn pick last week. But, you know, I didn't realize that Kenny Vaccaro is back playing.
Is he?
He played a hell of a game.
Well, on Monday night, I mean, they were – at first it was kind of – they turned the ball over. So I was digging up that old tweet where I got lit up by the Titans fans.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Luckily I never got around to it because they come back and won that game.
They did.
And pretty convincing fashion,
yes,
you know. So,
but I'm still taking the Patriots. And
I am too. I'm going to go with the Patriots. I tell you, every year I want to find a way to – you know, I don't know. The Patriots have finally fallen off, and they do kind of start the season slow. But when you look at, A, their schedule, and, B, the fact that they're well-coached and, you know, they continue to find a way to win, I got a quick picking against them. So I'm going to take the Patriots, another road favorite.
That's correct.
All right. So then let's move on to the Jaguars and the Colts. The Colts giving up 2.5 points to the Jaguars. What happened to the Jaguars?
Well, all I can say is, again, you see that chemistry issue. Wait, really, for the Jaguars, when they lost Fournette, that team completely changed.
Right. I mean, is there any idea when he's going to be back? He was on the sidelines of all the games this weekend, the big games.
He was at the LSU game, too. Yeah. I don't know. But that being what it is, I'm going to take the Colts and give up the 2.5.
I'm going to take the Jaguars on the road. Some point, you think, I don't know, I'm not
Won't
impressed
week,
by the Colts.
Okay.
They have been playing a lot better.
Yeah, they're playing really good.
But, I don't know, sooner or later, I think the Jaguars have to find a little bit of pride. And
good luck.
Maybe not. All right. So then we have the Cardinals. Oh, boy. Going to the Chiefs. The Chiefs are giving up 17 points.
Now, you know, I love the Chiefs. And my pick 'em, you know, by the way, I'm way up there in the pick 'em. You know, the other one that we do in the whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, we don't talk about that enough.
I'm like fourth in that thing. You know? Yeah. I'm way up
there. I had a great week.
Well, and okay. I love the Chiefs.
So check it out. Because I forgot to put my roster in for the perfect fantasy.
Yeah.
I had to wait till the second half, so I picked. I ended up our second games, the 4 o'clock games or 3 o'clock games, depending on where you live. So I put Breeze, Thomas, and Kamara, and just smoked it, man.
Yeah.
So
So anyway, 17 points. I love the Chiefs, but man, 17 freaking points. You know, and you're gonna go against the Hebrew Hammer. You know, that's what they call the quarterback at the Cardinals.
Right.
So I'm going to go ahead and take the Cardinals in a 17. I just can't imagine, you know, but I'm taking the Cardinals in a 17.
You know, I've gone back and forth, and I tried to at least pick one team that you're like, well, you know, because they – I can't do it with the
You're gonna give up the
Chiefs.
17?
I'm gonna give up the 17.
Okay.
And I gotta go opposite of you occasionally.
All right.
All right. So let's see, where are we at here? Now we're going to the Bills at the Jets, and the Jets are giving up 9 points.
That's a lot of points, but I'm still gonna take the Jets, just as Jets.
Well, with the quarterback that's playing for Buffalo, it's an embarrassment.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, at some point the guys
I should go see if I can sign up.
Yeah, I know. I'm surprised I haven't gotten a call yet either. Yeah, you know. Okay, so the Jets, I'm going to go with the Jets too and give up the 9 points. The Bills, I mean, it's just embarrassing. The Redskins and the Fighting Po' Boys at the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers giving up 3 points. What you say, Tomas?
I think the Redskins got embarrassed by the Falcons, and so now I think they're going to come back. So I'm taking the Redskins and the 3 points against the Buccaneers.
I need the Redskins to win for a couple of reasons. One, to give us a quality win,
yeah,
and B, to actually beat some of the lower teams in our division, which should be the Bucks and should be the Falcons, and they couldn't do it last week.
So
I heard they had a lot of offensive line injuries in that game, so that almost makes me want to just click onto the Bucks.
Nope.
But I'm going to keep it. I'm going to keep the Redskins.
All right.
All right. Chargers at the Raiders, the second biggest spread, if I'm not – no, it's not. There's more. There's bigger spreads.
No.
All right, so Chargers at the Raiders.
I've taken the Raiders over and over, but I finally learned my lesson. They aren't with a squat. So, therefore, I'm taking the Chargers and giving up the 11 freaking points. Won't make any difference. They'll beat them by 50.
I'm doing the same thing. Probably a mistake, but I'm doing it anyway.
Chucky's messed up.
All these huge spreads.
Yes,
the Dolphins at the Packers. The Packers giving up 10 points.
That's correct. I'm taking the Fins.
Taking
I'm
going to
take the 10 points.
All right. I'm doing the same thing, man.
Yeah,
I can't help myself.
Is it going to be cold in Green Bay?
I know, right? Is it going to be cold in Green Bay? The Packers are overrated. Aaron Rodgers, I don't want to call him overrated because, you know, he does some special things.
How many Super Bowls is Aaron Rodgers what?
I think he's one.
One.
Is it one? I know, but then
so I don't want to hear anybody talk about, oh, Drew Brees not that good. All right.
By saying that, that kind of takes away from Drew Brees' one. So I'm not looking at that. I'm just saying that. Like, for whatever reason, the Packers just aren't a very good team, and not just this year.
Time for a coaching change in Green Bay.
I think so. They need a spark out there, so I'm going to go with the Dolphins myself.
Yep.
All right, Seahawks and the Rams. The Rams are giving up 11.5 points at Los Angeles.
And here's what I'm going to say to you. We whooped the Minnesota Vikings. The next game, they came out, and they just blew up the Garys.
Okay.
Okay. So I got to think, we just beat the Rams. They're not happy. They need to get back on a winning streak. I'm taking the Seahawks on 11.5. I knew you thought I was going to take the Rams, but no.
You're taking
the
Seahawks.
They'll win, but I think the Seahawks actually have a legitimate team.
I think they're solid. I think they're okay.
So I'm going to take the 11.5.
All right, so then you got the Cowboys at the Eagles -7. Eagles -7.
I'm taking Eagles on a -7.
All right, I'm going to do the same thing. Then the Monday night game, and this is a real nail-biter.
Well, I'll be watching this one.
The Giants at the 49ers. Mm-hmm. 49ers giving up 2.5.
I'm taking the 49ers and giving up the 2.5.
All right, time for the big game.
I tried to move it along.
The Saints, yeah, we did. Good job. We ran out of time here.
Yep.
The Saints at the Bengals. The Bengals are getting 4.5 points. The Saints are 4.5-point road favorites.
You know it's going to be bad weather in Cincinnati.
Okay.
The Saints aren't used to playing outside. Bad weather. It's going to be tough. You know, I think we just feel a little bit too big of ourselves because we just beat the Rams.
Got to be careful.
You know, so I think it could be one of those, you know, what do they call those kind of games? You know, one of those
nail biter.
I know, you know, one of those
trap games.
Yeah, trap.
Yeah,
games.
That's the one.
Trap game.
That's
yeah, you know. So you know, I don't know, but you know, the Bengals, you know, they had a good team, and you know, it could be good Andy instead of bad Andy this week playing quarterback, and so therefore, I'm going to take the Saints. What are you talking about, man? I'm going to take the Saints and give up the 4.5.
I tell you what.
Another road favorite, by the way.
Yeah, Bernard, the running back,
yeah,
the multi-purpose running back,
yeah,
good ball player.
Yeah.
He's going to be back, but they lose A.J. Green.
Yep.
I think that the Saints are much more susceptible to good receivers than they are good running backs. What's the kid's name, the one that is
they
playing?
Lost their tight end for the season.
Oh, yeah, that was several weeks ago.
Yeah, but they haven't replaced him.
Nixon, is that right? Running back, Nixon.
From Oklahoma.
Good running back.
Yeah.
I think the Saints – will get their first game where it's not – where they – I don't know. How do you say it? They kind of get a week off. If they play good ball, they should win this game. Maybe I'm giving them too much credit. I hope they don't get too immature about it. But I think the Saints are going here, and I don't see Cincinnati putting up a huge fight.
No, I don't either.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, any final thoughts?
My final thought is this. Come on, people. Get on the bandwagon because we going all the way.
To the Super Bowl.
That's what I'm saying.
All right. Well, anyway, for Heath Elson Sons.
You need me to say anything else?
No, I mean, no, we're trying to burn up the rest of this clock, but I think we figured out.
I didn't know how much you wanted me to say something about, but, you know.
Anyway, for Heath Elson Sons.
We won't be signing Dez Bryant. Sorry, Wesley.
You don't think we signed Dez Bryant? Okay, by the time the show airs.
We'll know. Yeah, because, you know,
It sounds like Peyton wants him, though.
No. Too much money, man. Okay. I'm telling you, too much money.
He's
going to
play for cheaper. He's playing for cheaper. He is not getting no. Listen, maybe,
sign with the Buffalo
maybe
Bills.
He gets $2 million.
Don't
for Heath Elson Son, Tomas Mauricio, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast on 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. We'll talk to you next week.
Later.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back, and that's the way it is.
Oh, boy, don't waste time to tune into our podcast. Oh, go give your time to Davey, Heath, and Tomas. We do this every week, every Wednesday. So don't miss, we do this every week, every Wednesday. So don't miss. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast, oh. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast, oh. Oh, boy, don't